Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, it's Anthony Harry, former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye, football analyst for 670 The Score, Fox Sports, Sirius XM, Big Ten Network, and NBC Sports. Anthony Herron on 670 The Score. Get it on.
For the better part of the next 3 hours, I am your voice. This is Anthony Herron on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Looking forward to your texts and your calls throughout the show. The Text Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. I'm going to open up those phone lines for listeners. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit betql.com. Great lineup of guests. My guy Tyler Farengold is booked for the show tonight. When guests join us, they will be on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And at any point throughout the show, some news breaks. Breaking news on 670 The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. I don't know if it's the weekend yet or not. I mean, it is Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, just check my calendar to be certain. It is Thursday evening. I used to say back in Iowa City, Thursday night is party night. And so when folks were getting ready to get up out the classroom, getting ready to go do their thing, it would usually begin on Thursdays back on campus at that point in my life. I don't know that things have changed too much. So just because Thursday night is party night doesn't automatically mean it's the weekend. And this particular weekend, I do find a bit unique because there is the Memorial Day holiday that's coming up on Monday. It's actually one thing I'm going to want to hear from you about later on in the show is just your preparations for Memorial Day, because this is the weekend that when I was a kid, we would always make it a point, and a lot of folks, of course, still do in and around our fair city today, make it a point to get out to the lakefront, roll the grills out there. You know, you got the big iron, you know, cast iron garbage can that's been hollowed out, and you, I don't know how my uncles and cousins used to go about. A lot of folks still do the exact same thing, where you gotta, you know, remove the side of the iron garbage can and use that as an enormous barbecue grill, and that would be the charcoal grill. We'd roll out there, and folks would be on the grill. You'd be making the homemade sauce, getting that going out there. We'd get over to the softball fields, play some softball as a family. Drinks were had, laughs were had, and everything would take place on this Memorial Day weekend. So I know a lot of you are going to be doing that. So why wait till Monday? You actually got my permission. Go ahead and take the day off work tomorrow. Why not? You got my permission. If your boss asks why you're not at work, just tell them that Anthony Herron from 670 The Score gave you the day off. If you want to go down to Busch Stadium in St. Louis and turn that into Wrigley South, by all means, go ahead and do that. The Cubs could use your support because the homestand didn't go so well. I assume a lot of you were listening here on The Score to yet another defeat that the Cubs suffered today at the hands of the Atlanta Braves. That didn't go so well. So hitting the road for 7 games, that'll probably give the Cubs a little opportunity for some breathing room here as they have lost the last 3 series in a row. So getting to St. Louis, maybe that'd be a good thing for them. Cardinals are playing a little bit better here recently, but still behind the Cubs in the standings, and a big opportunity to try and create some distance between themselves and the rest of the squads in the division, maybe have an opportunity to close that gap. Right now, a 2-game gap between the Cubs and the Brewers. But as much as anything else, just to get right, man, just to get some offense going here as they're starting to get a little bit healthy, they could certainly use that. So if you want to just take the day off from work, make your way down to St. Louis, you have my permission. It is granted. Anybody within the sound of my voice, do that. And, you know, you should let your employer know, but just, you know, go ahead and list me as the reason for why. List me as your reference if you would want to. They can at me on Twitter. Don't give them my phone number or anything. They can at me on Twitter, though, if they want to ask why you're not at work tomorrow. But then as you get into the weekend, I'm going to be curious about that. So we'll talk about some of your Memorial Day preferences, Memorial Day flavors. Do you definitely do all of your main devouring of things on Monday? Or does it maybe happen a little bit Sunday, a little bit Monday? Do you kind of work your way into it and up toward it for the Memorial Day holiday? I'm curious about that since we're on a Thursday evening here. How are you going to sort of map out your weekend of what I assume for most of you will be carnivorous delights? But I don't want to assume too much. If you're not into that sort of thing, how else might you be spending the extended weekend, the holiday that will be upon us here? I did mention that Tyler's got a great crop of guests here. Those guests will be Carmen Vitale, NFC North writer from Fox Sports, Brett Taylor, Cubs writer from Bleacher Nation, Jake Butt, football analyst. You see him and hear him on the Big Ten Network. You also watch him on Bally Sports. Looking forward to that conversation with Jake. Jake actually, as he finished up his football career, spent some time with the Chicago Bears as well. So we'll be able to talk not only some college, but some NFL. We have Jake on the show later on also. As I mentioned, the Cubs did go down earlier today. And it was a game that started off with some promise for the Cubs. I mean, it was mainly, as has been the case as of late, most of the promise took place on the mound. Ben Brown got his fifth start of the season and looked outstanding yet again. I mean, just a really promising young arm. One of the starters that's really got, you know, I talked to Spiegs, not just in transition just now, but I think it was last week, one of the times I was on with Spiegs on the afternoon show on Parkinson Spiegel, we're talking a little bit about Brent Brown and just what he brings to the table, the in some ways the uniqueness of what he brings with a true combination of what can be at times overpowering velocity and the way he can attack the opposing lineup with that velo, but then also having some nuance to the way that he pitches as well. So that's exciting. What's disappointing is the fact that you got another quality outing from Ben Brown, who's been, frankly, better as a starter than he has coming out of the pen in his five starts with the Cubs. He's got a 2.35 ERA, a whip of 1.09. He's only allowed one homer so far, a 24-9 K to walk ratio in 23 innings. Today he went four innings, one hit, no runs, couple of walks, six Ks in just those four innings. And one of the questions we'll get into a bit later in the show will be whether or not it made sense after just 66 pitches to pull Ben Brown from the game. I mean, it's one of those things that up to this point has been, I would say, a fairly consistent approach from Craig Counsell up to this point in the season. He hasn't been overtaxing the starters, and we're just in late May at this point, but certainly want to circle around to some of that as it relates, just as we get into, you know, dive in a little bit deeper into some Cubs conversation a bit later in the show. But I think the way the starting staff has performed, it is beyond encouraging. And you just think that, all right, once this lineup begins to add a little bit more health and some more consistency, some guys like Ian Happ and others, you know, start playing it to the back of the baseball card, then it should be a great combination. But when you're getting this degree of pitching from your starting staff and you let games like today slip away from you, then that's one of those things that can be difficult to stomach. If you don't find a situation, if you don't get to a scenario where both your starting staff, the dominance that we've seen from Cubs starters up to this point, and combine it with just a bit more offense, especially some timely offense. We'll talk about that as well. It's come up a few times here in recent years. It wasn't as much of an issue consistently last year, but now, especially in this stretch in the month of May where the offense has struggled more, you're seeing now the timeliness of the offense start to become an issue for the Cubs. Looking forward to talking about some of that later on in the show and certainly getting your thoughts on some of that as well. But a lot of times when I'm on the show during this part of the year and we get into the spring and the summer months and it's in the midst of the baseball season, and my brain can often turn to more of a baseball focus, and then I hear from you out there, whether it is on the text line or on social media where you can hit me up at Big Ant Heron, then you get a little bit disappointed when I either go a full show, if I'm on for 3 hours or 4 hours, and occasionally I'll talk zero football, or you know, if I just get really deep into the show before I come around to some Bears chatter. I won't do that to you tonight, especially we got Carmen Vitale coming up in just a few minutes here. I'm going to talk Bears with her and really get a full NFC North picture on some things. But the Bears are in the midst of their organized team activities. They got the rookies and the veterans on the field together. And so today was an opportunity for the assembled media to lay their eyes on the combination of not only rookies like quarterback Caleb Williams, but the veterans being on the practice field together, watching Caleb in 7-on-7 against the veteran-laden Bears defense. And apparently, based off of some of the reporting there, things didn't go so well for the rookie QB. Of course, Twitter being what it is, some folks up in arms about it. I would say almost in some ways, some folks a bit of a celebratory tone about it, which is kind of odd, you know, in May with the Bears quarterback doing a little bit of "see, I told you" kind of conversation. It's unsurprising, but still odd. I think things can be both odd and unsurprising. But then also, you know, I think there were enough people out there sort of trying to temper the reaction just to reports of Caleb struggling a bit in 7-on-7, because it seems painfully obvious that he is taking the practice field in a competitive setting against a veteran and quality NFL defense, and doing so as a rookie quarterback who is still in the process. Yes, he got an early jump on the playbook, which is a great thing as he transitions into becoming the quarterback of the Bears and running Shane Waldron's offense. So as he gets more time on task, as he gets more opportunities to take the play in, to regurgitate the play to his teammates in the huddle, it will theoretically, it should become more muscle memory for him. That's the term I like to use, just in where you want, especially young athletes, to get to where they've got all those thousands of hours of time on task, where you get from the point of it being rote memory to muscle memory. And that's more important for a quarterback than for anyone else because of the amount of information that a quarterback has to ingest, has to verbally communicate to those around him, and then also has to be able to process in a kinesthetic way. Because after you break that huddle and you get to the line of scrimmage and you see all these, you know, angry opposing bodies moving all over the place, trying to confuse the devil out of you. And then the football gets snapped. And once that ball gets snapped and there's people flying every which way, and you got to know what's happening with your teammates. You got to know what's happening with the opponents. You got to anticipate where that ball needs to go. Now, this is a passing scenario that I'm talking about here. You know, a lot of these things I'm describing are still very similar in the run game as well, except at least in the run game, once you snap the ball and you take the snap from center, then you can toss it to somebody else. But there's still a lot of information processing and defensive diagnosing that takes place to determine whether or not you're in the proper run play. Do you need to redirect the front towards the run fit that's going to be more adequate for your offensive line, depending on the defensive front? And then once you get it snapped, your footwork needs to be right. The placement of the football, whether you're handing it off or tossing it in the proper timing and space, all these things that go a bit underappreciated both in the run game and in the pass game. We are in the extreme early stages of that. You can't overstate how early this is in the process for Caleb Williams. And so for those of you on social media reading about how Caleb Williams struggled a bit against one of the top defenses in football on the practice field, I would say don't overreact to that. Don't overreact to it if you hear a report coming out later on in the offseason that, you know what, Caleb Williams looked great. Now that he's got Roma Dunze out there on the practice field, man, did he look comfortable. He was just lighting it up. Can't tell you how good he threw the football, even if it's some of these clips that circulate out there on occasion of him on the move and throwing, you know, across his body as he's rolling left and hitting playmakers downfield out in stride. That's all fun. But the reaction to that, the expectation that is generated from those moments, the moments of what might feel like a highlight reel play, there's a reason he was a high draft pick, because he should be capable of doing things that look very impressive while he's not under legitimate duress. While at the same time, it needs to be understood. It needs to be understood today, and it will very much need to be understood for those of you who make your way out to training camp. And I can only imagine what the crowds are going to be like at Bears training camp when that opportunity is there to go up to Hallis Hall and for you yourselves to feast your eyes on Caleb Williams, Bears number one overall pick, savior of the Bears franchise, and what he's going to look like throwing the ball to DJ Moore and to Keenan Allen and to Roma Dunze. And that's going to be a lot of fun when you get to witness that in person. That being said, I will just urge you. There's no requirement. You know, I'm not going to tell you that you're under any requirement to temper your expectations. This is just my advice to you. Because if you happen to get out there and you see a practice in person where Caleb Williams throws a couple of picks, doesn't mean Caleb Williams isn't going to be good. And if you happen to go out there and see a practice where you just see some beautiful balls, some gorgeous passes from Caleb going to all kinds of playmakers every which way, that does not guarantee anything as it relates to the success he will have either. It's all a part of the process that Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears will be going through. What's important, though, is the time on task that Caleb gets, not only for himself being able to, as I was talking about, to get in lockstep with Shane Waldron, to ingest the play, to communicate the play to his teammates, but the timing of the passes, the precision of the way he'll operate as a passing quarterback in the National Football League, that's what's as important as anything right now, because the rote memory of the plays will come. The more competitive environments that he's placed in to be able to execute the plays, then it will get closer and closer to muscle memory. But the way that he executes the plays, the timing of how he goes about executing the Bears offense with the playmakers available to him and the recognition that the precision of his game can enhance the ability of the playmakers around him to put six on the board. That's where Caleb Williams, as often as he can, to spend time in the true practice window and the hours that Matt Eberflus, you know, diagnoses that he draws up as he's setting the practice schedule and has the time available in the actual script of the practice plays for Caleb to work with his teammates, but then the additional time that's there. Some of the time that he's already spent, I got a chance to talk to DJ Moore about that, even a couple hours before the Bears drafted Caleb Williams on that Thursday night. What was it? April 25th, I want to say. I was over at Soldier Field, and myself, my guy Lou Canellis, we're out there. We're doing the Bears draft preview show for Fox 32. DJ Moore came and joined us at the desk. Was talking to DJ Moore about some of the time he'd already spent with Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze out there running routes, communicating about the game. And that matters. And the more and more frequently Caleb gets to do that with those guys, and especially the more frequently he gets to do it under duress, it'll be extremely important for him to get into the habit of doing it on time, in rhythm, and getting the ball to the spot where his playmakers like it, putting the ball on the money where they're in a position to make a play afterwards, because he's got a lot of guys who have the ability that once they catch the ball, if it hits them in stride, if he puts it where they want it against the coverage as it's diagnosed, you got guys. I mean, DJ Moore is a run after catch dynamo. Cole Kmet is so hard to bring down after the grab. Rome Odunze will have highlights with the football in his hands. The precision aspect of this will be as important as anything else. So there will be mistakes that get made early, especially against a veteran and talented Bears defense and this Bears secondary that's amongst the best and most talented in football. You should not be surprised that today in 7-on-7, even though there's no legit pass rush trying to get after Caleb Williams and take his head off, he's a rookie quarterback in the very, very early stages of highly competitive football in the National Football League. So do not despair because you heard he threw some interceptions in 7-on-7 today. I am curious, though, and I'm going to talk to Carmen Vitale. We'll take a break here in a moment. I'm going to talk to Carmen. I do want to open up the phone lines after that, though, because part of the focus of my conversation with Carmen is going to be not only the Bears versus themselves, but how do the Bears stack up with the rest of this division? After that, I want to hear from you at 312-644-6767 about how you believe this version of the Chicago Bears stacks up with the division. Because as excited as we all are about the talent that's been acquired by Ryan Poles, this is a deep NFC North. So the Bears being the best version of the Bears we've seen in years doesn't guarantee him a damn thing. So I want to talk to Carmen about that, about the division as a whole, and I want to hear from you about your expectations with that as well. We'll talk to Carmen Vitale of Fox Sports. We'll do that next. I'm Anthony Herron. I got Tyler Farengel on the ones and twos. This is a Thursday night edition of my show here on Chicago Sports Radio.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
670 The Score.
You can see the talent. You can definitely see the talent. You can see the arm strength. You can see those intangibles. I think, especially with a guy like him, especially just watching him in college, you know, we put those pads on, we actually get into live games. Some of those intangibles, some of those off-script plays are going to show itself. It's kind of hard to do that a little bit in the practice setting. But, like, I mean, it is kind of too early. You know, we don't want to sit here and just say he's going to be a all-pro, pro bowl or anything like that. But like I said, these first few days, he's shown a lot of positive things. So that's exciting to see.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was the voice of one of the newly acquired Bears, at least over this offseason here. Kevin Byard, safety, spent the vast majority of his career with the Tennessee Titans. Finished last season with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now a member of your Chicago Bears. I'm Anthony Herron, Thursday night edition of the show here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Let's go out to the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And be joined by Carmen Vitale. X's and O's are always haunting Carmen, but that's why you love her. Covers the NFC North for Fox Sports. Host of Fox Sports Saturday on Fox Sports Radio. She is on X at Carmi V. Carmen, what's happening? How are you doing this evening?
Hi, Ed. How are you? I'm great.
I'm outstanding. Appreciate you taking the time to join me here. So I want to talk with you about the Bears specifically, but then also broaden things out, of course, to your expertise in the NFC North as well. But I was trying to advise Bears fans a few minutes ago because there were reports about them being out there in 7-on-7s and the practice in some competitive settings where Caleb Williams struggled against that opposing defense. And we heard the voice of Kevin Byard a moment ago. And he apparently, even before Caleb got off the practice field, just told him about how days like today will make Caleb better. How have you watched it play out over the years with young quarterbacks getting their first exposure to life as a pro and trying to ingest an NFL offense and now being in competitive settings as Caleb Williams is beginning to get exposed to against quality defenders? What is the development arc usually like for a young guy in this situation?
Yeah, I mean, this is completely to be expected. This is the Bears throwing the entire playbook at Caleb Williams, asking him to digest it as much as possible in a short amount of time as kind of like a baptism by fire. And it's designed to test them. It's designed to see what they're made of and see how they bounce back, because I keep going back to a quote that was told to me by he's an executive for player personnel at an NFC team, and he always told me that adversity in the NFL is an inevitability. It is when, not if. So you need to understand how these guys are going to react when they do inevitably face that diversity or that adversity. And that's what's happening right now. We're only a couple practices in. Caleb Williams had multiple receivers that weren't on the field with him. It's a new offense for everybody under offensive coordinator Shane Waldron. And you're going against a defense where they are able to react and be productive because, like, just based on their reactions. Also, a lot of them have been together for the last 2.5 years. So it's not designed to be fair to the offense. It's not designed to be fair to Caleb Williams right now. And it's just, everybody take a deep breath. It's fine. This is to be expected.
Yeah, I think that's great advice for everyone who's tuning in at the moment here who might feel a certain degree of, you know, I guess consternation about the Bears' passing attack and not looking special as of yet. And like you mentioned, there's a couple of the playmakers who weren't even out there, and they're facing one of the better secondaries in the NFC, perhaps in all of the National Football League here. The offense, the off season for the Bears probably couldn't have gone seemingly up to this point much better than it did before now. What would you say stands out to you as far as something, whether it is a player acquisition or just things that are happening internally, that's an important point of focus for Ryan Poles, for Matt Eberflus, to continue moving this thing in the right direction where what feels like a productive offseason can turn into actual production from a win-loss perspective once we get to the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think this has been the plan. Clearly, Ryan Poles had this in mind when he took over the job now 3 off-seasons ago. This was the best landing spot I think a first overall quarter pick that was a quarterback has ever come into. And that's because the Bears didn't actually warrant the top pick, and it's because of the last few years that Ryan Poles has curated this offense. But I think in particular this offseason, outside of obviously the Caleb pick, you also infused the offense in particular with experience. And that is something that is going to help and pay dividends for a rookie quarterback who is just getting his first taste of the league. You have a guy like Keenan Allen who is one of the most productive receivers since he entered the league. You also have DJ Moore who came last year. And I think what's going really underrated is you made some additions along the offensive line, in particular Coleman Shelton and even Ryan Bates, who can kind of be that swing guard in the interior there, where you now have an experienced center in front of Caleb Williams that can take things off his plate. He can make those IDs. He can make those checks. He can tell Caleb Williams what he's looking at as far as the defense goes and take some of that stuff off of Caleb's plate. That center quarterback relationship is so incredibly crucial, and it's different for everyone. It's different across all teams, but I am of the volition that if you have a young quarterback, if you have a guy that's developing, put some experience in front of him. That way he doesn't have to do everything himself. Then when he gets more experienced, that's kind of when you see these quarterbacks, Tom Brady, you know, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, all those guys, the center quarterback relationship kind of changes and they call the shots.
You mentioned the center quarterback relationship there, and the Bears have acquired, like you mentioned, multiple veterans there on the interior. We don't know yet. Will it be Coleman Shelton? Will it be Ryan Bates? Shelton is the player who's had more experience playing center. That particular spot that's been such a source of concern in recent seasons as the Bears have cycled through a few different possible centers and centers who've been in and out of the lineup, do you find that more concerning, or something like the fact that there's not a legitimate veteran QB in the QB meeting room with Caleb Williams? Is there either one of those situations that you think is more vital to the development of a young quarterback? The fact that you have the center position still fairly unproven, or the fact that there's not a legit vet in there to be that teammate voice in the QB room with him?
Yeah, I think that I'm more concerned about the offensive line because that's the guys that you're going out onto the field with, and I want there to be continuity finally. The Bears really tried last year to go into the season. Like, we back in minicamp, I remember, we knew the starting five for the offensive line, or at least we thought we did. And then by the time the season rolled around, injuries happened, and all of a sudden you're shuffling around again. That position, that group thrives off continuity, and you need it, especially for a young guy. So I want to make sure you get the most experienced guys in front of him, around him, again, especially at that center position. And I do think I mean, Ryan Bates is a longtime vet. He's not, he's getting up there, I think, in years. But Coleman Shelton, too, is coming off of being the starting center, for the last couple of seasons. So he has that experience as well. As far as the quarterback room goes, we haven't exactly seen the benefit of him yet because he's playing in Italy right now. But a good friend of mine and someone I worked very closely with for years in Tampa was Ryan Griffin, who was the backup quarterback in Tampa Bay forever, for multiple years, worked with so many different quarterbacks, worked with Tom Brady for the last few years when he was in Tampa Bay. And he is a guy that is young enough, given that he just retired from football, that he can be that kind of player, coach, go-between that I think a guy like Caleb Williams can really utilize. And it doesn't necessarily have to be someone that's, you know, had all these career accomplishments. How often do you have that, where you would have that in a quarterback room sitting behind a young player? So I think that this is the next best thing, and I do think that's exactly why the Bears went out and got Griff. They're just waiting for him to be done playing in Italy until he gets there.
Hey, everybody's got priorities. Keep making that money in Italy for right now, and then he'll be here with the Bears, hopefully before too long. Continuing my conversation.
He's playing with his brother out there, too. That's the reason he's out there. It's not for the money. It's not because he wants to keep playing. He wanted to have the experience of playing with his brother.
Very nice. La Familia. Very important. No doubt about that.
Exactly.
That's right. Carmen Vitale with me here on The Score. On Twitter, at Carmen V. She's from Fox Sports, covers the entire NFC North. Before I get to the division at large, I know you've been able to pay close attention to the Justin Fields situation. And, you know, there were sort of mixed reports, I guess, about whether or not the Bears were truly making the effort to do right by Justin, or was the sixth-round pick all they could reportedly get for him. And it felt like there were sort of, you know, multiple reports with that might have conflicted with each other a bit. We did get to hear from Justin Fields for the first time as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. What were your impressions of how Justin sounded, and did it put any sort of a capper on the idea of whether or not the Bears were more focused on doing right by Justin, or, you know, if that was just what the market was for him?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't necessarily think it's a one or the other answer. I think it's probably a combination of the two. But it clearly sounds like Justin Fields left on good terms with Ryan Poles. He didn't need to say that in that interview in the Steelers locker room. He didn't need to go, hey, shout out Ryan Poles for listening to my agents when I told them where I would like to end up. Pittsburgh was a place he wanted to end up because it does seem like he truly believes that there is a competition to be had here. And of course you do. I mean, as a quarterback, especially as a quarterback that has started the last few seasons, you don't see yourself as anything other than a starter. So I'm glad that Justin doesn't feel complacent in Pittsburgh. I'm glad that he feels like the door is open for him to maybe take that starting job from Russ either now or maybe later. But it definitely seems like there isn't bad blood. And it seems like it's something that Justin knew was coming. He even said that as much. You know, these things take time. And it sounds like there was constant communication between him and Ryan Poles. And when I tell you that is rare in and of itself, whether or not it was because that's all they could get for Justin or because Justin truly wanted to go there, the fact that there were open lines of communication between Ryan Poles and Justin Fields is rare. So many guys I've talked to, I've heard from, situations you see all the time, some of these guys don't even find out from their GMs or their coaches or whoever it may be. They find out via Twitter like everybody else, or they get this call from their agent after they woke up from a nap, not realizing that this was even a possibility or they were even on the trading block. So the fact that there was this much communication, I think, bodes well. And that is playing into why there's no bad blood between Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears.
All right, Carmen, let's talk NFC North at large here. Detroit, last season, best team in the division. Green Bay, one of the youngest teams to ever advance into the playoffs, doing well there. Minnesota found ways to win games with, what, four different quarterbacks or something like that last year. On occasion, it was just guys who had just shown up days before. So this is, it feels like a much deeper NFC North right now than it did a year ago at this time. Are the Bears in a position where it's legit to feel like they even stack up amongst the real competitors in the division right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to temper expectations. I don't think I'm very popular in Chicago for doing so. But as far as someone who, I mean, I paid obviously very close attention to the Lions and to the Packers last year and to the Vikings for that matter. And when I tell you that this division, the NFC North, is going to give the AFC North a run for its money to be the toughest division in the NFL. I truly mean that because every single one of these teams took a step forward. We don't know what Minnesota is going to be like yet, given the question under center. I believe Sam Darnold's going to start for them. They're going to ease J.J. McCarthy in here because they believe J.J. McCarthy can be their future. But like you said last year, I mean, these guys weren't even really out of the playoffs until the very end, despite the fact they had Kirk Cousins go down halfway through the season and then were rotating quarterbacks. I mean, Kevin O'Connell was playing live-action Madden in these guys' headsets during these games, and it's a testament to who O'Connell is as a coach that I think that this is going to go well for them. So given all of that, I want to see where the Bears are, not compared to the Lions, not compared to the Packers, not compared to the Vikings. I just want to see where the Bears are against their expectations and where they see themselves at this year. They're building the foundation. They finally have this roster that looks great top to bottom. And I just, there's benchmarks you need to hit. Just take it step by step. I don't want to go all the way to contending for, like I said before, maybe the toughest division in football. But I do think that it's not so black and white. Just because they don't win the division doesn't mean the season wasn't a success. Just because they don't make the playoffs doesn't mean the season wasn't a success. If you see the tangible improvement and you see the foundation being laid, this is going to be a really interesting division for years and years to come, given how young all of these teams are.
In Green Bay, Jordan Love, he's going in his fifth year in the league, second year as a starter. He's just witnessed the Detroit Lions make Jared Goff one of the richest quarterbacks in football. Now, Jordan Love has accomplished a scintilla of anything that Jared Goff has done in football. Goff has led a team to the Super Bowl, got Detroit on the cusp of a Super Bowl last year, has put up huge numbers a number of seasons throughout his career. Jordan Love coming off a very impressive first season as a Packers starter, but now his contract will be up after another year. What are your impressions of how deep a talks are going on right now between Jordan Love and the Packers? Are they in a position to extend him as of yet?
Yeah, I mean, I think that those conversations are happening, and I just don't think the sides have necessarily agreed yet. And the thing is, they have time. I fully expect a deal to get done between Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers by the start of the season. I think that they would be unwise to wait because these quarterback contracts aren't going down, and your franchise quarterback, the price starts with five for these guys, as Jared Goff is the latest proof of. I do think that not only did the money mean something for Jordan Love when it comes to what Jared Goff got, but I do think the terms too, as far as the four-year contract, we need to kind of look at that a little bit more, because when you look back and see what Green Bay did in Aaron Rodgers' first season as a starter, it wasn't as impressive as Jordan Love, but the Packers did lock him up, and they locked him up for 6 years after that. Now, I don't think Jordan Love has any incentive to sign something like that, given he just saw Jared Goff, who clearly Detroit believes in, only sign a four-year deal. Love wants to hit the market again before his age 30 season, because that's another chance to reset the market. This is him banking on himself being the franchise quarterback that he is for the Green Bay Packers. So I think that there's probably a lot of back and forth going on there, because the Packers clearly, I would think, would want to sign Jordan Love for as long as possible. They wholeheartedly believe in him. And when you sign a quarterback for a longer term deal, that quarterback contract seems to look like more and more of a discount the longer you go. Whereas Jordan Love is saying, hey, listen, let me out in 3 to 4 years so then I can get another contract, reset the market again, get more money, because these quarterback contracts are just going up.
There's no doubt about that. The cap goes up, and there's no signs that the NFL is going to stop finding new ways to make new paper. So when that happens, all these starting quarterbacks are going to make that new paper as well. Outstanding stuff, Carmen. Really appreciate you joining me tonight.
Of course, anytime.
That is Carmen Vitale of Fox Sports, who's just on Speak for Yourself again earlier this week. You can find her work on Fox Sports. You can read her work there. You can find her on Twitter at Carmi V. We're so blessed to have her in Chicago covering the Bears and the NFC North. I did tell you I was going to open up the phone line, so I would do that now at 312-644-6767. I want to get your thoughts on how you see the Bears stacking up in the NFC North, a division that is very deep, and I'll give you my thoughts on that as well. It's coming up next here on The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
So here's what you need to understand about the exuberance that's there surrounding the Bears. All the excitement that's there is well-founded. It's good to be hopeful this time of year, but you can only assume so much because no sporting team, no high-level competition takes place in a vacuum. And so the Bears, within the NFC North, it only matters partly that we think Caleb Williams has, you know, the world at his fingertips, that he's got all this potential, and the physical gifts that are there for him mean he could potentially become one of the better quarterbacks in football, or one of the better quarterbacks, maybe the best quarterback in Bears history, because that ain't saying too much when you look at the history of Bears quarterback play. But that hope that's within him, all the enhancements to this Bears roster, they only matter so much because the rest of the division the Bears play in is exceptional. I don't know how many divisions in football are better than the NFC North, but I think it's a pretty short list. And it's so drastically different than what we thought going into last season, because we thought maybe the Detroit Lions were a mirage after the way they finished the previous year. They didn't make the playoffs the previous season, just narrowly missed it after that, you know, season-closing victory they had against Green Bay. Came into last year with some ballyhoo, and next thing you know, they got all these primetime games, and it almost seemed like, poof, Dan Campbell went from being a laughingstock to being one of the most respected coaches in the sport. So Detroit, going to be damn good again this year. The Minnesota Vikings, folks look at me like I'm silly when I say that the Minnesota Vikings are going to be a dangerous team this year. And yes, there's a lot of questions at quarterback. Sam Darnold is going into year 7. I think Sam Darnold has got a Geno Smith, Ryan Tannehill type revival available in him somewhere. Because when you look at the college highlights of Sam Darnold, they kind of rival, as a USC quarterback, they rival the highlights that we saw from Caleb Williams this past couple of years as a USC quarterback. There's a lot of game. There's a lot of physical talent there. And he's with a Vikings franchise that, again, won a bunch of games with quarterbacks not nearly as gifted as Sam Darnold last year. And if it's not Darnold, then J.J. McCarthy could eventually potentially beat him out and become a quality starting quarterback in the NFL. And you just heard me talking about the Green Bay Packers, the youth that was there getting a playoff win last season. And there's no reason to think that Jordan Love is going to be taking a step back. And they're deep enough at running back. They added Josh Jacobs, still got A.J. Dillon. It's an offensive line that certainly needs to find a way to stay healthy. But when it does, it's a quality O-line, and it's a defense that's got a pass rush and a secondary. This division is certainly one that, you know, if we know the goal is going to be to take the North and never give it back, if that's going to be accomplished, there's a lot of roadblocks in the way of the Bears. So they're making the right moves. They're on the right path. But there's nobody in the division right now who you would anticipate going into this season is just going to lay down and let the Bears have it. We'll circle back around to some football talk, of course, later on in the show as well. But as we start off hour number 2, I want to get in some Cubs conversation. We will do that with Brett Taylor from Bleacher Nation. I'm Anthony Herron. This is The Score.
And the last thing, the most important piece, is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
So here's what you need to understand about the exuberance that's there surrounding the Bears. All the excitement that's there is well-founded. It's good to be hopeful this time of year, but you can only assume so much because no sporting team, no high-level competition takes place in a vacuum. And so the Bears, within the NFC North, it only matters partly that we think Caleb Williams has, you know, the world at his fingertips, that he's got all this potential, and the physical gifts that are there for him mean he could potentially become one of the better quarterbacks in football, or one of the better quarterbacks, maybe the best quarterback in Bears history, because that ain't saying too much when you look at the history of Bears quarterback play. But that hope that's within him, all the enhancements to this Bears roster, they only matter so much because the rest of the division the Bears play in is exceptional. I don't know how many divisions in football are better than the NFC North, but I think it's a pretty short list. And it's so drastically different than what we thought going into last season, because we thought maybe the Detroit Lions were a mirage after the way they finished the previous year. They didn't make the playoffs the previous season, just narrowly missed it after that, you know, season-closing victory they had against Green Bay. Came into last year with some ballyhoo, and next thing you know, they got all these primetime games, and it almost seemed like, poof, Dan Campbell went from being a laughingstock to being one of the most respected coaches in the sport. So Detroit, going to be damn good again this year. The Minnesota Vikings, folks look at me like I'm silly when I say that the Minnesota Vikings are going to be a dangerous team this year. And yes, there's a lot of questions at quarterback. Sam Darnold is going into year 7. I think Sam Darnold has got a Geno Smith, Ryan Tannehill type revival available in him somewhere. Because when you look at the college highlights of Sam Darnold, they kind of rival, as a USC quarterback, they rival the highlights that we saw from Caleb Williams this past couple of years as a USC quarterback. There's a lot of game. There's a lot of physical talent there. And he's with a Vikings franchise that, again, won a bunch of games with quarterbacks not nearly as gifted as Sam Darnold last year. And if it's not Darnold, then J.J. McCarthy could eventually potentially beat him out and become a quality starting quarterback in the NFL. And you just heard me talking about the Green Bay Packers, the youth that was there getting a playoff win last season. And there's no reason to think that Jordan Love is going to be taking a step back, and they're deep enough at running back. They added Josh Jacobs, still got A.J. Dillon. It's an offensive line that certainly needs to find a way to stay healthy, but when it does, it's a quality O-line, and it's a defense that's got a pass rush and a secondary. This division is certainly one that, you know, if we know the goal is going to be to take the North and never give it back, if that's going to be accomplished, there's a lot of roadblocks in the way of the Bears. So they're making the right moves. They're on the right path, but there's nobody in the division right now who you would anticipate going into this season is just going to lay down and let the Bears have it. We'll circle back around to some football talk, of course, later on in the show as well. But as we start off hour number 2, I want to get in some Cubs conversation. We will do that with Brett Taylor from Bleacher Nation. I'm Anthony Herron. This is The Score.
And the last thing, the most important piece, is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
So here's what you need to understand about the exuberance that's there surrounding the Bears. All the excitement that's there is well-founded. It's good to be hopeful this time of year, but you can only assume so much, because no sporting team, no high-level competition takes place in a vacuum. And so the Bears, within the NFC North, it only matters partly that we think Caleb Williams has, you know, the world at his fingertips, that he's got all this potential, and the physical gifts that are there for him mean he could potentially become one of the better quarterbacks in football, or one of the better quarterbacks, maybe the best quarterback in Bears history, because that ain't saying too much when you look at the history of Bears quarterback play. But that hope that's within him, all the enhancements to this Bears roster, they only matter so much because the rest of the division the Bears play in is exceptional. I don't know how many divisions in football are better than the NFC North, but I think it's a pretty short list. And it's so drastically different than what we thought going into last season, because we thought maybe the Detroit Lions were a mirage after the way they finished the previous year. They didn't make the playoffs the previous season, just narrowly missed it after that, you know, season-closing victory they had against Green Bay. Came into last year with some ballyhoo, and next thing you know, they got all these primetime games, and it almost seemed like, poof, Dan Campbell went from being a laughingstock to being one of the most respected coaches in the sport. So Detroit, going to be damn good again this year. The Minnesota Vikings, folks look at me like I'm silly when I say that the Minnesota Vikings are going to be a dangerous team this year. And yes, there's a lot of questions at quarterback. Sam Darnold is going into year 7. I think Sam Darnold has got a Geno Smith, Ryan Tannehill type revival available in him somewhere. Because when you look at the college highlights of Sam Darnold, they kind of rival, as a USC quarterback, they rival the highlights that we saw from Caleb Williams this past couple of years as a USC quarterback. There's a lot of game. There's a lot of physical talent there. And he's with a Vikings franchise that, again, won a bunch of games with quarterbacks not nearly as gifted as Sam Darnold last year. And if it's not Darnold, then J.J. McCarthy could eventually potentially beat him out and become a quality starting quarterback in the NFL. And you just heard me talking about the Green Bay Packers, the youth that was there getting a playoff win last season. And there's no reason to think that Jordan Love is going to be taking a step back. And they're deep enough at running back. They added Josh Jacobs, still got A.J. Dillon. It's an offensive line that certainly needs to find a way to stay healthy. But when it does, it's a quality O-line, and it's a defense that's got a pass rush and a secondary. This division is certainly one that, you know, if we know the goal is going to be to take the North and never give it back, if that's going to be accomplished, there's a lot of roadblocks in the way of the Bears. So they're making the right moves. They're on the right path. But there's nobody in the division right now who you would anticipate going into this season is just going to lay down and let the Bears have it. We'll circle back around to some football talk, of course, later on in the show as well. But as we start off hour number 2, want to get in some Cubs conversation. We will do that with Brett Taylor from Bleacher Nation. I'm Anthony Herron. This is The Score.
And the last thing, the most important piece, is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.